Coming up on Philosophy Talk,
risky business.
So, Michael, what's to stop you from doing this?
It's not worth the risk. I got a good job.
What if you didn't have a good job?
Why are some people more willing to take a risk than others?
You've got to act, and you've got to be willing to fail. You've got to be willing to crash and burn.
People take risks all the time.
But are some risks more rational than others?
If you're afraid of failing, you won't get very far.
Do you seek risk or do you avoid risk?
I think both risk aversion and risk seeking are rational, and both to a degree.
Our guest is Lara Bushak, author of Risk and Rationality.
For me, this is a very personal topic. I want to know, what should I do?
Risky business, the business of risk.
Coming up on Philosophy Talk. This is Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor. We're coming to you from the Mars Theater, the Bay Area's breeding ground for new performance.
Our thinking originates at Philosopher's Corner across the bay on the Stanford campus. Ken's a professor there, and I hang around there when I'm not teaching at UC Riverside.
Welcome, everyone, to Philosophy Talk. Today, it's risky business, the business of risk.
Well, Ken, the world is a risky place. All kinds of bad things, nasty things happen. For example, a meteorite could hit my house. Probably not much I can do about that, though, is there?
Well, I guess you could avoid your house, but that wouldn't be rational unless you somehow knew your house was an especially risky place for meteorites falling. But, you know, even so, every time you left the house, you'd still be taking other risks. Like a bird could poop on your head, or you could get mugged, or you could get in an accident or something.
Okay, so you take a risk whenever you do something without knowing what the result will be. Now, as I recall, there is a widely accepted theory that tells us when it's rational to take a risk. It says that a rational person is someone who maximizes what they call expected utility.
Expected utility. We'll have to talk a lot about that. But let's start by considering skydiving, just to illustrate. You're the agent, okay? You jump out of an airplane. That's your act. Now, there are two possible outcomes. The parachute opens, you glide down to the earth, you have a great time, a memorable experience. Another possible outcome. Your parachute doesn't open. You plummet to the ground. Not such a great time.
Okay, you're off to a good start. You got the act, you got the possible outcomes, two in this case, and you've got the values of those outcomes, at least the ones that you take them to have. But you've left out something important, the probabilities.
The probabilities? How much probability got to do with it?
Well, let's take your case. Suppose that parachutes in general fail to open once in 10,000 times. So the probability of the fun outcome isn't, unfortunately, 100%. It's only 99.99%. Whereas the probability of the terrible outcome isn't, as you might hope, zero. It's 0.01%.
Hey, you're a real math whiz there, John.
Absolutely. So to get the what they call the expected utility of the act, first, you take the value of each outcome. Okay. Best assign it a number. So let's say the fun outcome's worth 1,000 points, and the terrible one, that's really terrible, death, negative 100,000 points.
Okay, that seems fair.
Okay. Then we multiply each one by the probability of it being the outcome, and then we add them together.
Oh, okay.
And that's the expected utility of the act.
Jeepers, right? You're trying to say for me to decide whether or not I should jump out of the plane, I need to do that fancy math you just did, assign all these mathematical values to my options, then do this complicated calculations? Come on, seriously, who does that? Who does that in trying to decide whether to jump out of an airplane?
Well, I usually do, but I realize that for most people like yourself, this would be asking a lot.
Yeah.
But this isn't a theory about what people actually do, but it's just to say if we think there is a rational thing to do, this is a theory that tells us what it is. And maybe you, by the seat of your pants, are really trying to conform to it.
But your theory doesn't even complete. That tells us what you call it, the expected utility of jumping, but to know if it's rational or not, don't I have to compare it with the expected utility of not jumping?
Well, you're exactly right, Ken. To complete the example, we have to figure out what the value of not jumping is and its expected utility. Let's keep it simple. Let's suppose it's negative 25. If you don't jump, everybody will think you're a wimp. Let's suppose that's 100% for sure. So we get a very simple expected utility for not jumping, negative 25. Now, compare negative 25, utility of not jumping, to positive 989.9. That's adding up
what we had before.
It's rational for you to jump and risk your life rather than not jump.
That can't be right. That can't be right. There's missing something there. There's this expected theory of risk. Seems as if two people don't do the same thing, one of them has got to be irrational. I'm telling you, I'm not jumping. But deciding not to jump, you're saying that's irrational? It's not irrational. I'm just risk averse. You've left something out there.
Well, if I decide to jump and you decide not to jump, we might both be rational, but that would be because we associate different values with the thrill of the successful jump. In other words, the utilities are kind of subjective. I mean, some people enjoy jumping into nothingness more than others. Or some people think it would be worse to die by hitting the ground than others. Or we might disagree about the probabilities. But if we fix the probabilities, maybe through statistics, and we don't both agree that it's rational, then the theory says we must be associating different subjective values.
I think this expected utility theory is missing something. Because can't the difference between you and me just be that I'm risk-averse and you're not? It's not that I think my dying is worse than your dying, or I think a successful jump would be less fun than you do, or the probability is different. I just don't believe in taking that kind of risk. If your story doesn't allow for that kind of difference between us, it's leaving out the crucial thing. It's leaving out the risk aversion.
Maybe it would help if we understood how real people take really big risks, choices that threaten their very lives. We sent our roving philosophical reporter, Caitlin Esch, in search of people who risk everything for adventure, for science, for love. She files this report.
When Karina Holikim is standing at the edge of a cliff about to jump off, she feels, well, I'll let her explain.
It's a fear. It's a natural fear building up inside of me. But I think the difference between most people and I is that I love that feeling.
Karina is a base jumper from Norway, which means she jumps off cliffs, pulls a parachute, hits the ground, and skis the rest.
It's like everything is standing still. And you're on top of everything, and you're in control of everything. And all your senses are broadened and sharpened. And that feeling, it's amazing.
Karina is the first woman to compete in a ski base competition. She says she craved the experience. She kept pushing the envelope, going higher, farther. Then one day, everything changed. She was doing a routine skydive at a paragliding show in Switzerland.
It was considered to be super safe. It was over a lake, over water, you know, what could possibly go wrong?
Karina leapt from the plane and plummeted down. She pulled her parachute, but there was something wrong. It was tangled.
My immediate thought was, you know, I'll fix it. I wasn't supposed to die like that on a routine skydive from a plane.
A split second later, it dawned on her that there was nothing she could do. She thought of all the friends she'd lost exactly this same way. She braced for impact.
And then I hit the ground and it all turned black.
She shattered both her legs. But of course, Karina did wake up. There was searing pain, proof she was alive. And then more darkness. She came to 2 days later. The doctor at her side told her she'd never walk again.
I took that as a challenge and I thought to myself, hey, you know, who are you to tell me what I'm capable or not capable of doing?
In 6 months, she was putting on her own socks. In 3 years, she was walking. In 4, she was skiing again.
One day, I got it back. And when you get it back, you just start appreciating it in a whole different way. And you start seeing the little things that you took for granted.
Risk is something that you have to face in order to live a beautiful and meaningful life.
Zoltan Tokash is a pharmacologist. He travels the world extracting venom from snakes, scorpions, and spiders.
We take back that venom to the lab and research the different ways how the toxins, which are the components of the venom, can be turned into a life-saving medication.
The risks in his line of work are endless. And it's not just from the poisonous critters. Zoltan has been thrown in jail by communist regimes and evacuated from war zones.
Different types of armed conflicts like civil war, drug smugglers, pirates in Panama, Sudan, Yemen, southern Philippines, infectious diseases like malaria and dengue.
But perhaps the greatest risk he faces comes from his own body. Zoltan is actually allergic to snake venom and anti-venom. So get this, he has to worry about the toxicity of the venom, his allergic reaction to the venom, and his allergic reaction to the anti-venom. Zoltan has been bitten 3 times. The last time was in the Brazilian Amazon.
I got bitten by a rear-fanged snake, which is not insignificant for me because after the bite, within a few minutes, I developed a very bad allergic reaction.
He was with 2 colleagues, and they rushed him by boat to the hospital where he was treated, and he survived. But I had to ask, was there ever a time when Zoltan felt the risks weren't worth it?
Well, this was my childhood passion, and I still love every bit of it. So it's never really crossed my mind that I should quit doing it because it's just too risky. What crossed my mind many times is to better manage the risk.
For Philosophy Talk, I'm Caitlin Esch.